Time now to catch up with Jeff from Acela Wine. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Peter, and good morning to all our listeners.
And what's happening on the wonderful world of organic wine, mate?
Well, it's a beautiful day here today. The weather's been spectacular. We had a couple of nice rainfalls, Peter, over the weekend, or fortunately not Saturday, because we had a lot of people here Saturday, but Sunday late it came in, and then we had again on Monday, late Monday, early Tuesday. So.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah, we had some overnight rain here. As the snake said to the lion in the cartoon version of Robin Hood, it was hissing down.
Yeah. Yeah. The snake's quite smart.
Yeah, very clever.
Yes. Yeah, it was very good. It's been dry, Peter. It's too dry. We had all that nice rain late January, February after the drought, which we've had for years, and of course it's ongoing, kind of broke. But then it's dry for a few months. A little rain here and there to keep the grass green, but not doing a lot for the groundwater, Peter. And this was nice rain. We got about 20, I think, between the two rainfalls, somewhere 20, 25 mil. But again, it's mostly surface water. You know, like it's not going to get down to the, you know, 3 to 5 meter range, which is where we need the water for
the moisture. Mate, yeah, does that change the taste of the wine, you know, like
I don't know if it. I think rain helps the taste of everything, Peter.
Right. Except me.
Yeah, but what happens is that if we don't get this, you know, the penetrating rain, the deep rain, there's no water down there for the roots to go after, and so they come up to the surface chasing the drip irrigation. And the roots are there, and they're not hardy plants like they are if they've got deep roots, Peter.
Right, understood.
Yeah, even if they look good and they're healthy and everything, they're, you know, when it gets like it's been the last few years in the high 40s, mid to high 40s, it's just too hot. And you can't, without the roots being deep like that, the plants are just too vulnerable. You can't put enough water into them.
Hmm. So that means your yield would be down considerably, I would imagine.
Well, that's right. And you remember we talked about it a few months ago, that we're talking about, I think it was a 1.5 degree increase in the grape growing areas. And I forget the exact percentages, but Peter, but the amount of crop that is going to disappear in those grape growing areas because of the higher temperatures, it was a staggering percentage, Peter. So I don't know, there's two ways to look at this. Is I guess that you have to drink less and, you know, pay more for the wine, or drink as much as you can now, Peter, while it's still available.
You'll finish up very pleasantly.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's a bit of a worry, but, you know, these things are sent to test us. I see now yesterday, with no new cases in New South Wales, community cases, Peter, but and South Australia are going to open the border, and not that we're inclined to visit there too much. I guess the people in Broken Hill are over that way, go backwards and forwards, but, you know, they're not, and Western Australia's got more cases than New South Wales, and they're still locked up like a prisoner of war. So, and of course, Queensland has got, I think, a premier challenged in statistical analysis, Peter.
Yeah.
And they've actually had, you know, reasonable, well, small quantities of cases themselves. You know, per population, there has got as many as New South Wales, but they've still got the border locked up, except they've opened up some northern areas now that probably do travel into Queensland, like up the Gold Coast and down to Byron Bay, I think they've allowed. But we had no cases, Peter, so, you know, they're chasing phantoms now.
Yes, but, you know, don't hold your breath, because where was it? They were going along quite nicely, and then all of a sudden, whoops-a-daisy, here we go again.
Well, that's New Zealand, of course, was a classical example. She ruined the economy, dropped 12%, I see, compared to Australia's 7%, locked it up, you know, said, we're done deal now, we've fixed that. Of course, we were.
Well, Shirley fixed it.
Yeah, we were talking about the time about the country of the deluded Peter, and New Zealand was one of those countries. And of course, they've been running along at the rate about the same as New South Wales, because we got twice the population. You know, so when they have two cases, same as four here. And they've had four cases the other day in New Zealand. That's the same as eight here. So, you know, it's you think you're doing a job, but all you're doing is destroying the country. So, and then I think history is going to be harsh on these people. And I think the electorate is probably going to be harsh on some of these people as well. So we'll see what happens as things go along. Europe's in a heck.
We're getting ready for Christmas too, and need I mention that, but that's going to be quite a problem for a lot of merchants because the buying power won't be there.
Well, that's definitely going to be a major problem, Peter. And then Europe's in terrible trouble again. Spain, France are up around 10,000 cases a day. That's the equivalent of the United States, Peter, being 60,000 cases a day. And the U.S. is down to about 35 now or something like that. U.S. is about half what they were at the peak. They're still high, but you're talking a country 30 million compared to France and Spain, which are in the 50, 60 million, Peter.
Yeah.
So you're talking about infection rates in Spain and France now that are twice what they are in the United States. And even the U.K. is back to nearly 5,000 a month.
Yeah, and so he's just put in some restrictions too.
Yes, yes. Well, that's the same, about the same as the U.S. Infection rate, Peter, in the U.K. at the moment. So Sweden still chugging along. Most of the Scandinavian countries are okay. Germany and Italy around 1,500 a day. So they're tottering on the edge here of whether they're going to go like Western Europe, or whether they're going to go like Eastern Europe. Most of Eastern Europe are doing much better. All those Croatia and even Greece and Belarus and Ukraine, all those countries are don't have that infection rate. So, but Western Europe, because they just came off their summer vacation, Peter, and boy, it's like trying to stop a flood with your hands, Peter.
Yeah, well, I noticed that with COVID-19, apparently the hotter it is, the less it performs. You know, the cold weather is a real problem.
It is, and it's coming in Europe. If we're getting hot here, Peter, you can guarantee they're getting cold over there.
Yep.
And, so that's been a real big problem. And it's a worry for the United States and particularly Canada as well. So the only good part about it is that there's not as much socializing probably in winter, because a lot of the outdoor activities have gone in particularly cold countries. So a family member gets it, the whole family gets it, but they're less likely to pass it on
to someone else. Yeah. So yeah. You're damned if you do and damned if you don't, basically.
Yeah. There's a couple of interesting articles in the research magazines this week, Peter. One from La Jolla. And do you like my Spanish? That's spelled, by the way, J-O-L-L-A, and it's pronounced La Jolla. Hoya.
Hoya to you, too.
It's actually down near, this particular one I'm talking about, this is a La Jolla Institute. It's just north of San Diego in the United States, in California. They just published a study, Peter, and we talked about T cells quite a lot when we were talking about fighting cancer. And they found that when they energize T cells, particularly estrogen-fed cancer, they can energize the T cells and actually eliminate it. They eliminated cancer cells from human cancer cells from mice. Which they had been, injected with, and of course, which will grow freely in mice, because mice and humans share, and rats, like about 98% of their DNA. So it's appropriate here. But what they found was one of the reasons old people are getting greater amounts of coronavirus and dying at a higher rate is because as you get older, you get less, your T cells decrease in numbers, Peter, and they obviously decrease in energy as well. And they found with increase, I'll just read it to you, with increasing age, the reservoir of T cells that can be activated against a special virus declines, and the body's immune response becomes less coordinated, which looks to be one factor making older people drastically more susceptible to severe or fatal coronavirus. Now, so how did we energize our T cells, Peter? That research also came out of a university in California, and that was creatine, remember? They fed these mice, and in this experiment, creatine, and the creatine energized the T cells like it energizes muscle cells for people that are trying to build muscle mass. And it eliminated the cancer from those mice. They're finding now that if we have a way to energize our T cells, Peter, we can have a better chance of fighting off the coronavirus. So we're back to creatine, Peter. Go down to your local store. Chemist, I get mine. I've been taking it for about a year now because of this energizing T cells. I get mine from the chemist warehouse, but you can get it from most chemists and most wholesale areas. And it's not very expensive, Peter, and I think it's a pretty good thing. Had the side benefit for me, Peter, if you remember, I've had chronically low iron, and my iron level tripled, and my ferritin level, which is kind of the iron reservoir, quadrupled when I started taking creatine. So I don't have to take iron pills anymore.
Oh, that's good, because Doc prescribed the iron pills for me, and all they did was made me sick, so I had to get...
Yeah, well, me too, Peter, me too.
Infusion.
So, yeah, you got to get on your creatine, Peter. Make sure you're taking it a regular basis. So.
Yeah, well, we're getting quite a collection out there.
So that was... and another research, Peter, on ultraviolet light, which we brought you that research about... 2 months ago maybe, where they had found that certain wavelengths of ultraviolet light kill the coronavirus. This is another study. This came out of Japan, Hiroshima University. They found that when they subjected coronavirus in a petri dish, Peter, to 222 is the frequency that the ultraviolet light was, killed 99.7% of the coronavirus, Peter.
Interesting.
In 30 minutes. Okay, so if they keep going, they kill them all. But in 30 minutes of exposure, and I've said this before, I don't know why in businesses or hospitals or whatever, they don't just turn ultraviolet light on at night and kill everything, you know. It's better than having chemicals everywhere, Peter.
That's for sure. Yeah, well, nice to know they're coming up with a few answers anyway to try and keep us healthy.
Try to keep us healthy, yeah. And it's hard to do. There were so many interesting things this week. They've linked mosquito-borne viruses to a stroke, Peter. This came out of the University of Liverpool in the UK. They were studying in Brazil and South America, and they found that if people get the Zika virus and another one called chikungunya, I think it's called.
Same to you, yeah.
Yeah, chikungunya. It's a type of mosquito-borne. If they get both of those, Peter, their likelihood of stroke increases dramatically. So that's related to mosquito diseases. And I think that's, as far as I know, that's the first time it's been related to stroke, Peter, increased stroke.
Yeah, I can't recall hearing that before.
Yeah, so it's... And of course, our old friend omega-3 is back in the news, that if you, if you've got good levels of omega-3 in your diet, this came out of, I'm not even sure where that is, Elsevier Research Center, wherever that is. But anyway, they have found that people with high omega-3 diets, 35% less likely to have fatal myocardial problems, Peter. So we got to get into that poor old salmon, Peter. He's,
I love salmon.
Yeah, and they're very high in omega-3. So we did that show quite some time back, Peter, where they found that children that eat fish test on average 5% higher, no, 5 points higher, 4.8 it was to be exact, in IQ, in intelligence, than children that don't eat fish. So for all those mothers out there, make sure you get a little bit of fish and omega-3 into your children's diet. It's not only
nothing
very
like
healthy,
it, mate. Very good. Very good, actually.
Yeah, not only healthy, but it makes you smarter people. And it brings
I need
up
all the help I can get.
Yeah, yeah. It brings up the question, Peter. Is it just smart people that eat fish, or do fish really make you smarter?
Good question. I'm glad you raised that. But talking about being smart, if I can just divert you for a moment, I saw in the news where all these millionaires are claiming this JobKeeper thing as well. I mean, are you kidding?
Yeah, I know. Well, the criteria
are still getting nothing.
Yeah. Well, this is, look, the government's making changes and they have to do it because there's no incentive for young people to work and get a job. I mean, there's been a few newspaper articles about somebody, you know, that's trying to hire people and nobody wants to apply for
the
job.
They don't want the jobs.
Because they're getting JobKeeper or they're getting JobSeeker.
Yeah.
And they're getting more, especially for young teenagers and younger people, like they're making more than they were when they were working, so they don't want to work. So
I can understand both sides of that argument, really. I think the wages have got to come up because, I mean, we're getting close to Christmas. People need to buy presents. And if the presents are going to be exorbitant rate and we're getting no money, that nothing's going to happen.
It is a problem. And there has to be a safety net, Peter. And the government is making changes now, but I read somewhere there, since the coronavirus started, Peter, there has been 30,000 new hirings in the government.
Oh, wow. Wow.
You know, so the coronavirus has been very good for government employment, Peter.
Strange, isn't it?
Well, they got to process all the people.
Yeah.
You know, that's the problem. I mean, I understand it, actually. And usually I say, well, you know, just bloated, you know, government bloat. But in this case, they're dealing with millions and millions of people, Peter. And so, you know, you try and get a hold of a government department and you'll see they need more people.
Oh, yeah, tell me about it. But speaking of getting a hold of things, Christmas coming up. Good opportunity to send some organic wine, not only to your relatives, but to your friends. And now I reckon would be a good time to order it, wouldn't it?
It would, Peter. In fact, you bring up a good point. On Sunday, we launched our seasonal pack, our Christmas pack, our early launch for our seasonal pack. Nominally,
oh, goody, yeah, because I'm down to one bottle.
Yeah, nominally, we call it the December or the seasonal pack. But as we've done for the last quite a few periods of time, quite a few packs, we've got what we call early launch. And so it gives our members, our friends of a seller, an opportunity. Their regular discount is 15%, but our pack prices, Peter, are minimum 25% off, and they're up to 40% off in our seasonal pack. And so what we do is, because of the demand also for the people that are at home wanting a little bit of something nice, we launched the packs early, Peter, and they have the wines for their Christmas parties. And of course, we avoid that problem we had not so much last year because we issued early last year as well, but the year before when some of our pack wines, which we shipped in, normally take 1 or 2 days by courier, were delivered after Christmas, Peter.
Yeah,
that's how bad
yeah.
the courier situation was.
I think they've rectified that pretty much now. I noticed I was talking to our friends at Vodafone yesterday, and I said, well, you know, when will that turn up? Because I wanted a new handset. And he said, oh, 1 to 2 days. And I thought, that's pretty good.
Yes. Well, until Christmas rolls around, Peter. And then it's 1 to 2 months.
Good things come to he or she who waits.
I know, but you got to have your wine before Christmas, Peter.
That's right, mate. And where do they get it from?
They get it from Acela Organic Wine, Peter. acelawines.com.au. And free delivery Australia-wide, mix and match. And, you know, and anybody that joins our Friends of Acela at the moment automatically gets pack prizes, because that's the way it's set up on the computer. Once we put the pack offer up, if you join, you're entitled to it, Peter. So there's
The...
Yeah, so otherwise you pay about 35% more for the wine, so...
That's the way it is. Well, that way, instead of just getting one lot, you can afford two lots.
Well, they do, because a lot of our Friends of Acela buy their wine for their Christmas party, Peter.
Yep.
There's nothing people will remember more fondly than a party they went to, Peter, and woke up the next morning without a hangover or a headache.
Oh, it's marvelous, mate. It really is marvelous. Now, people can ring you. People can email you as well.
Yes. Email us here at info@acelawine.com, or they can come and visit us as well, Peter, or they can call us 657-45275. That's in New South Wales, of course. But they can come and see us. We've had many people come this week. Yesterday, we were busy. And so we've had, and of course, school holidays coming up, or the long weekend, we're booked out accommodation-wise. And so, from what I understand, most of the accommodation in the Hunter Valley is booked out as well. So we're looking forward to an influx of people over the next week or so, Peter.
Should be good fun. Great to catch up with you, mate.
Yeah, same here, Peter. We'll catch up next week.
Sure will. Now, that's acelawines.com.au. Put your order in now.